Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, if it's over in New England, it was kind of a sad day and a sad way to end it yesterday. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Chris Carlin. He is Joe Fortenbaugh. Joseph, I was up there yesterday calling the game on ESPN Radio with Mike Tannenbaum of the Jets and the Patriots.
Hell of a game.
Just gold. Absolute gold. I mean, the number of punts at one point exceeded the number of points total. Like, if there could have been a wager of what number will be higher, the total on the game versus total of punts, that would have been an interesting number to see. Like, I don't know that there would have been a heavy favorite either way. I really don't.
No.
But having said that, it's over. It's pretty clear that it's over. Bill Belichick has started to address what's going on just a little bit. And I want to begin there by hearing some of what he had to say at his press conference. Evan, this is a press conference after the game yesterday. Is that correct? Or is that from today, that what I'm about to play here?
I believe it's from after the game yesterday.
Okay.
So that's the Handman right there, ladies and gentlemen.
That is Eric Handman getting it done, as Evan had stepped away for a moment. So here is Belichick on right now first how they will proceed right now.
I'm under contract, do what I always do, which is, every day I come in, work as hard as I can to help the team in whatever way I can. So that's what I'm going to continue to do. And, today was kind of the wrap-up day for us with the players, have a meeting with them, and then go from there. So as far as any, decisions or direction or anything like that for next year, is way too early for that. End-of-the-year process is, I don't think will be fundamentally any different from a, the standpoint of how it's done. The decisions, that's a whole nother conversation, but how it's done, I'll meet with Robert like I always do.
See, here's the thing. There are a couple of little Easter eggs, if you will, right away, Joseph. It's I'm under contract, and it's I'm going to keep doing what I always do, and that's keep coming to work. So basically he's telling you, I am showing up until they tell me not to, until they fire me. That's what he is saying, because right now there is no way that wherever it is he is going to coach next year, Bill Belichick wants that team to have to trade for him. In no way does he want that to happen. And if I'm Robert Kraft right now, while I may be ready to move on and we can talk about the respect factor that you have to have for everything that's been achieved, Robert Kraft and NFL owners, unless you inherit the team, you don't get there by not being a good businessman. And if you watched what I watched and what not many other people clearly in the stadium watched yesterday, it was a terrible offense. That is a team that needs players and that needs draft picks. And if they're looking at a guy like Mike Vrabel as their next head coach, they're going to have to give up a draft pick to go get him. I'm not in a hurry to let Bill Belichick walk away for nothing.
So how long do you let this process go?
I'm going to let this go a couple weeks.
Going to let this go a couple weeks. We're just going to sit here, and rather than get things done, rather than get moving, rather than get the candidates in, I mean, who's the guy? Is the top guy going to just sit around and wait for you to figure this out?
No, listen, I think that if you're a team out there that really wants him right now, if you're the Chargers and you really want him right now, we have to make things uncomfortable. If I'm Robert Kraft, we got to make it a little uncomfortable. Bill, you want out? We'll let you go. We're not letting you go for nothing. I'm not letting you go to another team and get nothing when you have drafted these offensive players who are frankly just that offensive in their lack of ability on this team. So I got to get something back for you. You're an amazing coach. We agree that your time may have run out here, but I'm sorry. I can't let this go for nothing. You are an asset, and I need to get something back in return for you.
If you can do that by the end of the week, fine. If this thing's going to drag out, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't be inept. Don't be inept. Don't be incompetent. Don't
I'm not
get
talking about
way.
A month. I'm talking about a couple of weeks. This is how these things go, Joe. It'll get uncomfortable, and then they'll get it worked out.
I don't know. Will they? I mean, if the Chargers are sitting there looking at Jim Harbaugh, what are you going to do? You're going to wait. It's like, all right, I can go out and I can break the bank for Harbaugh, or I can break the bank for Belichick. I think if you're the Chargers, you're probably looking at both saying we could do quite well. If we
all right,
get
how about
guys.
If you're the Commanders? What about
the Commanders?
The Washington Commanders?
I'm bringing in Myers and I'm bringing in Spielman like they've already said they are, and they're going to go through this search here. I don't think I'm giving up draft picks to bring in Bill Belichick. I'm not going to sit here and wait around and negotiate with you for Bill Belichick. I haven't seen a whole lot out of Belichick the last few years, right? All I know is that as soon as Tom Brady left, Bill Belichick couldn't win games anymore. He didn't win a single playoff game without Tom Brady. He went to the playoffs once as a seventh seed and got waxed. Now, this is all going to sound very negative towards Bill. It's not meant to. He is the greatest coach of all time. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but from a negotiating standpoint, if I'm Washington, I'm not sitting here saying, how can I give up valuable assets to bring in Bill Belichick? I'll just go look somewhere else. I don't think it's that important to go get him. I don't think he is that important right now. There are other guys you can bring in. I'm not going to go do some dance with New England. If New England can't figure out what they want to do right now, that's on New England. Right? This shouldn't be about draft picks. This shouldn't be about anything, man. The Patriots should be sitting down, discussing what they're doing with him, and it should be decided, probably should be decided by the end of the day. If he's coming back, I don't even know why you need this song and dance. And if he's not coming back, move on. Get the process going. You've already dragged this out pretty long, right? It's already been taking a while. You gave him until the end of the season. Now you want to do this draft pick thing. Well, all right, so let's say the Chargers find a way to get it done with Harbaugh, so they're off the table. There's probably a few head coaches that aren't necessarily interested in bringing in Bill Belichick. You're going to need at least two teams if you're going to get a draft pick. You're going to need a bidding war here. And if you don't have a bidding war, you're not going to get anything for him.
But if you are Kraft right now,
I'm done. I am done. You just got beat at home by the Jets. You beat the Jets. That's the sign. Like, how much more do we need to see before we realize we've got to turn the page here? We have talked about this all season. It is over. It doesn't mean it's over long term for the Patriots as a competitive organization. It doesn't mean it's over for Belichick as a coach and having success in the NFL. It does mean it's over between these two. The one thing we could always count on, even when the Patriots were at their worst, is that they could beat the Jets. They can't even do that anymore. They couldn't do it at home. They're a mess. You need a change. You don't stand around screwing around trying to negotiate with the Chargers over some sort of draft pick compensation. Just get moving. Get the process going. Washington has already brought in consultants for their process. You haven't even had your meeting yet. The Chargers are obviously the reports are out there that they're interested in Harbaugh. Everybody else is already moving. What are you waiting on? You're waiting on whether or not someone might give you a pick. The best you can do is sit back and wait, hope McCarthy flames out with the Cowboys, and hope Jerry is willing to give you a pick to bring Belichick to Dallas, because that's a team that doesn't necessarily need all its picks because they already have a pretty solid roster.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. The problem, though, is this. If you're wanting to move on, and if your Kraft is your first hope that you're going to go get Mike Vrabel, or is your first hope that you're going to, like, have you settled on Jerod Mayo? Because it feels like that's fallen apart a little bit. We had heard that as a name that was definitely possible. Is there anybody else you're turning to? You're certainly not turning to Josh McDaniels at this point.
The OC in Detroit is going to be the hot name.
What's Ben Johnson?
Yeah, there you go. That's a hot name.
What offense is there to coordinate right now in New England?
Oh, there's none. Whoever's taking this over is taking on a massive rebuild.
But are they? Are they taking over a rebuild of one side of the ball? Because they still have an outstanding defense that still played exceptionally well. See, to me, that's what makes Belichick valuable. They had their problems with injuries on defense, and they were still a very, very good defensive team down the stretch of the season. I understand the point about Brady, and it's more than fair. It's more than fair. But we have talked about organizations wanting to establish credibility and to be serious organizations. Does anybody indicate that more or represent that more than the guy that's won six rings and still has it in him to coach? Do you think the game has passed him by? You think he's done?
No. I think a fresh start and a quarterback could definitely rejuvenate his career.
I agree.
I think there are teams out there that offer him the ability to get it back on track. Once Brady left, they didn't figure out the quarterback position. They didn't do well building up the offense, and as a result, they couldn't score. Like, they were just terrible the last few years. It was a swing and a miss on Mac Jones, and that happens. But they didn't have any other plan in place. So now going somewhere where you might have a quarterback, should Dallas flame out and you can take over with Dak? Should you go to the Chargers with Justin Herbert? I think that gives him an opportunity to do, especially with the Chargers, build up that defense, because there are some pieces there, but if you already have the quarterback on the offensive side of the ball, you can get back to winning. The Chargers are a team that just needs to button it up, right? They let the details fall through the cracks. That's why they're an unserious organization. They're just sloppy. They need someone to tighten up the ship. If you have someone that tightens things up with the Chargers, they're in the playoffs next season.
The ironic part of all of this is the way that they got Belichick was to make things uncomfortable. Was Belichick walking out on the New York Jets? That's the way they did it. They were uncomfortable for a couple of weeks. I can live with that. I can live with that. And I'm not talking about getting a first-round pick. I just need something. I need to get a second or third or a combination thereof. A two this year, a three next year. I need something for a guy that is regarded as the greatest to ever do it and still has a lot left in the tank. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. When you're trying to find quality candidates, all the searching, screening, interviewing, that can become a job itself. You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. What is wrong with your Philadelphia Eagles, Joseph? Oof. One expert had quite the theory, and you will hear it next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It was a poor game for the Eagles. They trailed 24-0 at the half. They made a little noise, but not nearly enough. as they lose to the New York Giants on the final regular season game, 27-10.
And it wasn't too long ago that we beat Tampa up there. And, you know, you don't got to win all games at once. You just got to, you know, you got to win each day. And that's what we're about to go do.
We got
to
respond as a team. And everybody understands that. We can't waver from what's in front of us. It's about to work.
The Q word's a four-letter word, Joseph. I don't like to use it very often. I'm going to turn this over to you right now. Put you on the spot. Eagles fan, I want to know immediately where your head is, where your heart is, where all of it is right now. As the Eagles have dropped 5 out of 6, are reeling, and yesterday just absolutely demolished by the Giants, have the Philadelphia Eagles quit?
Well, they quit yesterday. In terms of what we see from Tampa, I'd be betting on Tampa if that answers your question. I'm embarrassed. As a fan, I'm embarrassed. I've lived through some seasons where McNabb got hurt. You knew the season was going to get away from you. There were some seasons in the 90s that, you know, you think about the Ray Rhodes era. You think about Rich Kotite and some of the other things that happened in Philadelphia. There are some tough seasons. This one's just, it's embarrassing because you were supposed to be good. I didn't come off last year and think they're going to be right back in the Super Bowl hunt. I thought they were very fortunate last year. They're a very, very good team. I did not think they were elite last season. I thought that they were the beneficiaries of the softest schedule in the NFL, and they were a very healthy football team, which set them up for a great chance at success. And then they went into the postseason, and they got the Giants in the divisional round, which was an overrated team. And then the following week, they got an injured Niners team where they went against Josh Johnson and Christian McCaffrey, a quarterback. Great scenario. And then against the Chiefs, which was the toughest game of the season in the second half, they couldn't deliver. They couldn't get a stop. Defense was overrated all year, and they got exposed in the second half. So they came into this year, and I thought they'd be good. And their final record is a good record. I just didn't think they'd be soft. That's kind of what they are. They're soft. Yeah. Like the adversity is striking them, and they're not handling it well at all. Like, you're getting rolled by the Giants to the point where everyone looks around and goes, yeah, no reason to take any risk here. Let's get them all out of the game. And it's not like anyone's banging the drum. It's not like Jalen Hurts is saying, no, coach, we need to stay in. This is the game where we need to figure things out before we get to the playoffs. They were all very content to just go to the sidelines, put on their jackets, and be done. And they've been rolling over in a lot of games as of late, so I've got no expectation for them. Have they quit? It looks like they've quit. Maybe they show up in Tampa, but I don't have any expectation of that happening.
Quits always, as I said earlier, it's always a very tough word. I don't know that I would say that they have quit this season. It's easy to say that that they did yesterday. My thing is, you used a word that I think is apropos, soft.
Yeah, they're soft.
Yeah, they feel very soft, and they feel like they have gotten that way by just completely losing all confidence that they have right now. You know what they look like to me? Fittingly enough, they look like Rocky after he got the crap beaten out of him by Clubber Lang at the beginning of Rocky III.
The old Rocky analogy for an Eagles team. Here's the thing.
There's no Apollo Creed running into the waves with him here, okay? He's not coming back. And I wasn't even doing it just because of that. That's just kind of what I was – like, they look like a team that has completely mentally lost their way.
Well, the teams take on the personality of their head coach, and their head coach isn't really he doesn't strike you as a stable, just even-keel guy. He's an emotional guy. It's not necessarily a knock, but the players are going to take their cues from him. And when he panicked and put Matt Patricia in charge of the defense, and then the defense completely fell apart, like, I don't know what more we need to see from Patricia to realize he's not that great at his job. Right? Like, he wasn't good in Detroit. He's not doing a good job in Philadelphia. In New England, we were told he did a good job. But again, how much of that's Brady and Belichick? Like, how much do you deserve for that? Because you went back to New England after Brady was gone and you didn't do a good job there. So you're not doing a good job in Philly. You didn't do a good job without Brady in New England. And you didn't do a good job in Detroit.
Yeah.
That's a guy who doesn't really do a good job. And I think it started to fall apart there. I think the defense has lost confidence in Patricia, if they ever had any to begin with. I think the team's starting to lose confidence in Sirianni because it was a panic move that blew up in his face, and they look to the offense to bail him out, and Hurts isn't the same guy this year, and they're just not getting it done on the ground either.
See, Sirianni is intriguing to me. I don't think he's the guy that you want if you have to try to climb out of the foxhole.
No.
Like, I think Nick Sirianni's a front-running coach.
Like, well, that's what they did last year. They front-ran.
Yeah.
They faced no adversity last year. There was no adversity whatsoever. They were healthy, and they were playing nobody. They faced adversity for the first time in the second half of the Super Bowl, and they were nowhere to be found. They didn't respond. This year, at every turn they faced adversity, people punch them in the face. They don't do anything about it. The Niners beat up on them, and they came back the next week, and they got beat up again. They don't show any resilience at all.
I want to hear from Sirianni here. Here he is after the game yesterday.
Nobody's quitting on this team because that's the reason all these guys are in that locker room, because they know how to freaking fight. The coaches know how to freaking fight. The players know how to freaking fight. The staff know how to freaking fight. And so we'll just get up and we'll fight again and we'll see, you know, see what happens next week when we put everything we got into it. And we've been putting everything we got into it, but we're going to put everything we got up into it this week and we'll see what happens.
All right, yeah, miss me with that. Miss me with that. Yeah. You put nothing into that Giants game yesterday. Nothing. And when you got rolled by the Niners, you put nothing into the Dallas game the following week. Like, stop with the "we're fighters." You haven't been fighting for a month. You've just been getting stepped on. Even the one game you won down the stretch against the Giants a couple weeks ago, you still almost blew it at the end.
Yep. He sounded like Newt Rockne there. He's trying to talk himself into it.
It's just empty words. It's like, this is going to sound good. This is going to motivate. No, it's not. It's not going to motivate anyone. You guys waved the white flag very quickly yesterday. You got booed off the field at MetLife Stadium. You had that many fans travel to the visiting stadium, and then they booed you off it. Those weren't Giant fans booing you. Giant fans were having a great time out there.
And the Giant fans that even showed up in that weather. Ugh. I mean, it's week 18 and the Giants are terrible.
Giants torched them.
Those tickets were on StubHub and Vivid Seats as quickly as possible, for Pete's sake. But there is an alternative theory, Joseph, and it belongs to Stephen A. Smith. Take a listen to what he said with Pat McAfee earlier today as to what's wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles.
The Philadelphia Eagles. What the hell you think's going on?
I don't know what the hell.
You know what it is?
With them, man.
Dom DeSandro.
That's right.
Dom DeSandro gets hit in the mouth by Greenlaw, I believe.
Yep.
He gets escorted off.
That's right.
Never allowed back on the sideline.
Right.
They look like a completely different team now.
Well, actually, they were getting their ass kicked that day that Greenlaw.
Yeah, but Dom at halftime would have gave him a little high.
You think so?
Yeah, he would have gave him a little.
Somehow, some way. I don't know what the hell is going on. They lost both coordinators, obviously. I knew they were doomed when they had Matt Patricia to help them out with the defense. I knew they were doomed at that particular moment in time.
That's right, I said it.
I didn't stutter. The point is this. The Philadelphia Eagles have appeared to be a shell of themselves. They lost Gardner Johnson and others in the offseason. They've had some injuries. They don't seem to be who we expected them to be. Jalen Hurts hasn't been healthy all season. He's been playing.
Broke his finger yesterday.
They don't seem to have any kind of rhyme or rhythm to what they're doing. They seem to be a shell of themselves, and I don't expect much from them. I don't want to pick them to lose to Tampa, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Listen, the good news that they got today is it reportedly doesn't sound like Jalen Hurts' finger is broken. I don't think it's Dom DeSandro, Pat. I don't think it's Dom DeSandro at all.
No, I mean, that's humorous. But again, it just speaks to one of the talking points of this season was the head of security was involved in an altercation on the field with a player from another team. Can anyone name of the other 31 NFL teams how many times that happened this year? The answer would be zero. It doesn't happen. Those things don't happen. When you're organized, when you're out there putting forth the best effort, your head of security isn't fighting opposing linebackers. I don't care, it's not to put DeSandro under the bus or anything like that. It's just kind of a microcosm of this whole season. Like all the talking points about Philly, it's all the wrong thing. They win football games early, the wide receiver's upset. Why? Who cares? You're winning games. You're supposed to be focused on winning games. Well, I'm not getting my looks. Up, here we go with that. So there's a problem there. And then you beat the Giants, but Brown doesn't want to talk to the media after the game. He's upset about that. And then you got a quarterback who's talking about people's commitment. What's that about? Doesn't want to elaborate on that. Then you got the head of security fighting a linebacker. And then you got teams you're just rolling over and dying. You rolled over and died against Arizona after all that talk. Do you remember Sirianni's bullcrap talk about how Gannon's going to come in and he's never going to want to come back to Philadelphia after what happens? He's not going to be there? Like, Gannon beat you. A team that's actively not even trying to win this year came to your house in the middle of a playoff race and came back to beat you. That's how soft you are this year. Like, that's the word to describe Philly. The Eagles, that is. They are soft until they show anything otherwise. And there's no reason to believe that that's coming anytime soon.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Well, to win a national championship, you have to have special qualities. What those are, I couldn't tell you. I'm not a national championship winning quarterback. But we'll ask one next on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Washington and Michigan.
Here we go.
The title Monday night.
It's been a long time since either of these teams last won a Natty.
When you're sitting there in August and you're trying to figure out which teams are going to possibly make a run, I think both these teams have that proverbial chip on their shoulder.
How about them dogs? Literally, underdogs and also Huskies.
The last two playoff appearances, just we didn't get it done. We all knew what our goals were, knew what our standard is around here at Michigan.
I was looking for more clarity, and it's kind of felt through the course of the show that you have been leaning a little bit toward Washington all day. Is that accurate?
I have. Yes, I have. I think it's a wonderful matchup, and this is certainly not one of those games where you stand up and go, oh, my God, this is going to be a smash. No siree. There are a lot of ways this could play out tonight.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And the other angle is certainly whether or not this is going to be Jim Harbaugh's final game as head coach at the University of Michigan. I certainly believe that it will be. I'd be stunned if he came back again, win or lose tonight. Are you of the same feeling at this point?
100%. Because I think a lot of people have gotten caught up in the, well, if he doesn't win, he wants to come back and finish the job. I don't think it's about that. I think it's about what's going to happen to Michigan in the future with these sanctions. We're not done here. We're not done here from everything that went on with the sign stealing. And I can tell you, Ohio State's not done with that. Penn State's not done with that. The rest of the Big Ten is not done with that. They're going to make sure the NCAA looks into this. The hammer's eventually going to fall. And Harbaugh, much like Pete Carroll at USC, is not going to want to be there for it. He's going to want to be somewhere with a 9-figure long-term contract in the NFL with another chance to win a Super Bowl.
Cut and run. That's what it feels like. Yeah. 100%. It feels like cut and run for Jim Harbaugh after this game. Now, he may be running, leaving a national championship behind, which I'm sure for Michigan would help soften the blow quite a bit. Now, having said that, for me, there's really only one place that is a good fit for Jim Harbaugh right now, and that's the Chargers. And the reason being is not just Justin Herbert, but it's what you've talked about. We've mentioned Belichick in the same vein. The serious head coach that can put the culture in place to have immediate results. And that's what it feels like with Harbaugh with the Chargers right now. I look at these other jobs, Joe, the Falcons, the Patriots, the Commanders, the Raiders. They don't feel like Harbaugh jobs. Like, to me, if the Raiders hired Jim Harbaugh, I almost feel like I could guarantee that would be a disaster. Like, it has that feel of like a bad combination of what the Raiders are and what they've always kind of been versus Harbaugh being what he is with his personality. And that's, I just don't think that's a Raider as a coach.
Yeah, it just, you know, every time it's supposed to work for the Raiders, it doesn't. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. It just,
I almost think they're better off with Antonio Pierce at this point.
Pierce did a hell of a job down the stretch. I mean, again, like, let's take a look at some of these situations very quickly when we look at the Raider job. Antonio Pierce had his team playing to win football games. It's not an overly talented football team, but he had them playing to win and they won games. The Eagles aren't doing that right now. Sirianni doesn't have his guys playing to win games.
Nope.
You can look around the NFL. You got a lot of teams. Carolina couldn't be bothered to show up the last few weeks of the season. Couldn't care less. Squad douched yesterday. They don't score any points. There are a lot of teams that couldn't be bothered down the stretch. The Commanders couldn't be bothered at all with yesterday's game against Dallas. Raiders kept showing up. There's something to be said about that. The Atlanta job, I think, is intriguing because I think you get a quarterback in there. Decent quarterback. I'm not saying you need to go out and get your next big franchise guy, but if you somehow get competent quarterback play with that team, they become interesting. The division isn't overly daunting, and you've got a lot of talent at the skill positions. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. The thing with Arthur Smith is he just didn't understand how to use it. I don't get it. He's an offensive mind, but any fantasy owner knows he couldn't get the ball to those guys. With the Chargers, it's about time to spend some money because forever you've been cheap. Let's put it like this. Here's where I want to start with the Chargers. You have had an extreme amount of talent come through there over a prolonged period of time. Over the last 22 seasons, you've had Drew Brees into Philip Rivers into Justin Herbert. Brees is a Hall of Famer. Rivers has a real good shot at the Hall of Fame. Herbert is currently a franchise quarterback in the NFL. We'll see where it goes. In the 22 seasons you've rode with those three guys at quarterback, you've won 5 playoff games. 5.
Wow.
5 playoff wins in 22 seasons with Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, and Justin Herbert as your starting quarterbacks. That is laughable. And that isn't a talent issue. That's an issue on behalf of coaching and management. You owe it to yourself to stop being cheap. I know you don't want to spend money, Spanos family. We all know you don't want to spend money. We get it. But you just spent on the quarterback. It's time to go out and spend on the coach for the first time in a long time so that you can finally at least hold your heads high and put a competent product out there.
Well, let's get more on this in the game tonight with the guy who will be calling it right here on ESPN Radio. It's Greg McElroy, ESPN college football analyst, and of course, BCS national champion at Alabama. He and Sean McDonough on ESPN Radio tonight for the national championship game. Coverage beginning at 6:30 p.m. Let's just start there because we were talking about it, Greg, for a moment. Are you under the impression that this will be Jim Harbaugh's last game at Michigan?
I am. Yeah, I think that he's got so many options in the NFL. I mean, I've been told that as many as 3 teams are, like, really in pursuit, with one that I guess is going to be have to told no. Like, I heard Vegas is all in. You know, like, all the chips to the table. Like, let's go, boys. Mark Davis doesn't care. Like, you can't take it with you. I don't know what the Spanos family's trying to do, you know, nickeling and diming their way through mediocrity in the NFL. But I feel like Mark Davis knows that he doesn't care. I mean, he has how many buyouts that he's currently paying? And he's going to go all in on this one as well. So it should be interesting. People have asked me, though, and I don't know how you guys feel about it. Like, I don't feel like the outcome of tonight's game is going to impact Jim Harbaugh's decision.
No,
he either
no.
views himself as a college coach or he views himself as an NFL coach. And that doesn't change whether he wins tonight or loses tonight. So I think he's gone. I think this is his last game. But he's done what he went to Michigan to do, to put him back on the map and have them in a great spot, win or lose tonight.
Well said. Completely agree. To your point on Mark Davis, he is tired of being a second-rate citizen in his hometown. In the Bay Area, he was always behind the Niners. And in Vegas, he's now behind the hockey team. People love that hockey team. And his own Las Vegas Aces, no joke, the Aces have won back-to-back titles. He's got a taste of it. He wants it for his pro team. He's willing to spend, so that's an excellent point, McElroy. Now, to tonight's game, I feel like the mindset here that so many of us have discussed is that Michigan wants to come out, they want to run the football at Washington, they want to take the play clock all the way down, and they want to keep Penix on the sidelines. Really easy for an overweight radio host like me to say that on the air. How easy will it be, though, for Michigan to deploy that strategy against the Huskies?
Well, if you're overweight, I'm going to begin to pray for myself, because I could fit you in my back pocket before we walk to work. I mean, it's like, one, it's going to be really difficult. Like, the big thing that I think is fascinating about this matchup is everybody keeps talking about how much of an advantage Michigan has from a physicality standpoint. You think Washington hasn't heard that? If they haven't been told that, they haven't been listening for the last 8 days about how Michigan's just the more physical team and physicality wins. Like, there's a couple of guys on that Washington team in the front seven defensively that will flat out get after you. And I think that they're trying to prove a point that, hey, we can go with anybody from a physicality standpoint. Now, ultimately, doing it over the course of four quarters could prove to be really difficult. That's what I think is going to be fascinating. I bet you they hang in there really well early, but you get around snap 40, 45, 50. That's when the dam usually breaks against Michigan, because teams can sustain for a little while. They just can't sustain long enough to go the distance with a team that's going to throw haymakers over and over and over again. So I think that's going to be fascinating. Really, Joe, from your angle, because I know how you're thinking.
Yeah, buddy.
I think that it's going to be low-scoring tug of war in the first half. And then in the second half, you might see some offensive fireworks. That's kind of how I envision it going.
Duly noted, McElroy. Well done.
Greg McElroy, ESPN college football analyst, calling the national championship game tonight on ESPN Radio. What are you watching tonight when you look at the two quarterbacks?
Well, Penix is getting his due finally. You know, I mean, it's like, goodness gracious alive. Like, what more can this kid do to impress people that are in the quarterback evaluation business? I mean, it's like, goodness gracious, man. I've been watching them all year. I'm like, I love this kid. And now it's like he had to beat Texas, who's not even great in the secondary, for him to get his respect. It's like absurd. The guy's unbelievable. And he's been throwing dudes open all year long. He's as accurate as there is in the sport. And I'm not talking about like underneath accuracy, because you'll pull it out and you'll say, well, he's completing 67%. Yeah, okay, well, on 30-yard-plus throws, he's completing 53%. The national average is like 31%, and he's completing 53% of throws that travel more than 30 yards downfield. The guy is accurate on the downfield throw, and that's what's expected from the NFL. So I'm glad he's finally getting his due. It's well-deserved, and I think he's been criminally underrated. I know he finished second in the Heisman, but if people would have been paying attention all season long, I think they would probably have a little bit more respect for him. And then on the other side, I think J.J. McCarthy also underrated. Just because he doesn't have the numbers doesn't mean he can't play at a crazy high level if needed. Against Alabama, he played out of his mind. I thought he played great in that game. He's never going to blow it up statistically. He's never going to throw for 350 and five touchdowns. But doesn't mean he couldn't if it absolutely had to be done for his team to be successful. So I think he's really good. I think he's going to have to be great tonight, because I think Washington's going to completely sell out against the run, and they're going to put some of the onus on that Michigan passing game. And whether or not McCarthy can step up will be, I think, a big question as to whether or not they ultimately win the game.
All right, let's lean into that a bit, because we talked about the idea of Michigan coming out, running the ball, grinding the clock down. What if Washington comes out, hair on fire, puts up a couple scores early, and Michigan finds itself not necessarily being in the best possible situation later in the game to deploy that game plan, run the ball, grind the clock? Maybe they have to throw, maybe they have to try to keep pace. You think McCarthy and the offense are capable of doing that if perhaps this gets into a shootout?
Whoever plays well early, I think, is going to be in a great spot. And I'm talking great spot to win the game. I know that you're sitting there thinking, like, McElroy, wow, what an observation. Like, the team that is in the lead has a chance to win. Now, I think as much as ever, the person that's leading at halftime, the team that's leading at halftime, I'd give it a 95% probability they win the game.
Ooh, okay.
Now, because I know that you would think, well, Washington's a team that's built to come from behind. They're actually not. They're kind of a keep-away ball control team. And they're a team that wants to take their shots, and they want to throw the dagger in and go for the jugular when the opportunity presents itself. But at the same time, they're also a team that is really, really good playing with the lead, because they have good pass rushers. And if you put Michigan into a pass-first situation, you're in trouble. Meanwhile, on the other side, I mean, we know Michigan can put the thing away. I mean, we've seen that over and over and over again. So if you're Washington, you really want to get out to an early lead. And same can be said for Michigan, because I think whoever has the lead at halftime is going to be in prime position to control the flow and the tempo of the game, which is going to be massive in the second half.
Greg, have a great call tonight. We appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you guys so much.
Greg McElroy, ESPN college football analyst. He'll be on the call tonight. ESPN Radio with Sean McDonough. Our coverage begins 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Ian Fitzsimmons, Chris Budden on the sidelines as well.
Why are you so quiet?
Me?
Yeah, we got you quiet. We're all looking around like, why are you quiet?
I think it's because I had the mute button.
There it is, the mute button.
Wow.
Welcome to radio. Why? Who gets a national job on ESPN in a day part for their first gig?
Did we just have a miracle? How could we hear
him? Yeah, how could we hear you if you were muted?
I don't know. It was a quiet.
You should see the looks on everyone's faces. Wilner looks like he's seen a ghost. Handman, shocked. Yeah, it was quiet. Like, you were muted when you made the joke about McElroy when he's like, oh, I know what you're saying. Greg McElroy with the observation, and you're like, whoever wins, scores the most points wins. It's a great joke, but we barely heard it. I'm like, what's going on back there?
I'm just disappointed in myself. You know how much I hate myself, and now it's even more.
No, it's the fact that we could be onto something here. We heard you with you muted. Are we hearing him
more
from New
anything,
Jersey? Can we hear him
anything,
four states away?
That's a problem.
Is he that
you
loud?
Might. You might be. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
The Falcons have fired head coach Arthur Smith after three seasons.
It was the right move. I mean, there were no signs of progress. He was 7-10 all 3 years he's been the head coach down there. At some point, you have to take a step in a positive direction.
You look at Arthur Smith, you got to be able to score points, especially with how he went about, you know, his regime.
After three seasons, you never really saw it take that next step. You never really saw it be the explosive offense that you expected with the weapons that he had, even despite the quarterback play.
So Arthur Smith is out the day after the regular season ends. Actually, he was fired last night late by the Falcons. Washington Commanders fired Ron Rivera earlier today. They've already got their wheels in motion, getting all kinds of permission all over the place to interview different candidates, including Ben Johnson, including Aaron Glenn, both of the Lions, including Raheem Morris of the Rams, and they've got Rick Spielman and Bob Myers coming in, the former Warriors GM and, of course, of ESPN, to help out as consultants in their hiring process. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. So those two firings
Bob's
today,
just living the dream. He's just getting whatever job he wants these days.
Exactly. Is there a better job than consultant?
Consultant is the job.
It is the job. Absolutely it is. And you add those to the three firings that happened during the season, Josh McDaniels with the Raiders, the Panthers with Frank Reich, Brandon Staley with the Chargers. We do not know as of yet what's going on in New England. Bill Belichick said today, I'm coming to work until they tell me not to come to work anymore because I'm under contract. And then your guy, Dennis Allen, said just moments ago, he feels like he is safe. Here is the quote. Just he was asked if he expects to be back next season. That is my expectation, yes. So he addressed the media. And a lot of times if you're getting cut loose, you don't address the media the day after. They will immediately go right after it. Now, Belichick is a unique situation. But this, I tell you what, Dennis Allen can't even get his team to take a knee when he wants them to, for Pete's sake, like we saw yesterday. And he is keeping his job? How is that possible?
Because the ownership group, if they're thinking intelligently, realizes that they are really jammed up from an asset perspective and a financial perspective, and you might as well give Allen another year to just kind of oversee the mess before you can bring in real sweeping changes. You know what the projected cap number is right now for the Saints next season, 2024? Like how far above how much cap space they have?
I'm going to say that they have negative $48 million.
It's actually negative $75 million.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was light on the number.
Yeah, negative $75 million right now. Now, they're going to have to clean that up. But guys like Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, all this money that they're spending all over the place, they got to get rid of some of these guys. They got to wait out Derek Carr and get rid of him. That was a terrible signing. And once you can clear out some of that, you can go ahead, you can hire a new coach, you can build this thing up. The question is whether or not you take a guy like Chris Olave, your only asset, and you trade him for draft picks.
Yeah.
That's what you should be asking yourself right now. That's the big question in New Orleans, in my opinion, if Allen stays. Trade Olave, get the draft picks, and then start building this thing up next year.
You know what they've gotten? Bang for their buck. They really have. Oh, my God. Holy cow. If you're already at that point, you have not mismanaged the franchise. You have absolutely sabotaged it.
This is the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.